It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. More bike lanes, benches, and signs guiding residents to the visitors and visitors to the next downtown location are just some of the changes that could be in store for Pittsburgh. But if space annexed by one mode of transportation will be missed by the others, what tensions could be created? Public Source reporter Eric Holmberg has explored this question and joins us to look at how people's use of public spaces and major streets is evolving in the Steel City. Eric Holmberg, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH. What changes would you like to see? What are the ways in which you would like to see Pittsburgh reimagined, particularly for pedestrians or people that use bikes? 412-246-2002, the number to call. And Eric, you report that the U.S. arm of a Danish urban research and design firm, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this correctly, Gale Architects is working on a report that measures how people use downtown's public spaces and major streets. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so the basics are that there's going to be a report that comes out probably towards the end of January that will sort of baseline how people are moving about downtown. The sort of pioneering architect that has led this firm has been doing this work since the 60s.
Jan Gale
has been counting people and bicycles, and because it's always been the case that what cities count are cars, is traffic. And so one of the things that this firm has done around the world is count people, bikes, and really sort of emphasize urban design for people and not cars.
And what is Jan Gale's backstory?
He's a Danish architect, started his work in Siena, Italy in the 1960s, studying how people moved about European plazas. And he's really taken this, philosophy forward and has been one of the most articulate architects, been in documentaries, has written a book. All of this was sort of background for that made this story possible. His firm has a known philosophy. We can study it and see how their ideas might apply to Pittsburgh.
And you say that Gale's recommendations will tug at existing tensions between motorists and bicyclists and pedestrians. How might this play out?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting story because, as sort of you all talked about in the last segment, there are a lot of conflicts right now in Pittsburgh, not only between cars and bikes and pedestrians, and that sort of gets down to the space in downtown. We have a very limited space in downtown, which is a good thing because it's dense, it's walkable. Pittsburgh is listed as an example in his book, alongside Copenhagen, alongside Zurich.
That's interesting.
Having a great framework for a downtown that can be vibrant. But that density also has its limitations. We don't have a lot of wide avenues. Liberty is probably perhaps our widest street downtown. And so that means that any space you take away from cars or you take and give to bicycles or pedestrians is going to be really missed. Now, one example of that is the sort of vast tension and criticism around the Penn Avenue bike lanes. But you think about sort of the larger questions of, how can the streets better serve pedestrians is a really interesting idea. The city recently made a change on 6th and Smithfield, widening the sidewalk at the city's busiest bus stop. So it gives people more space to walk on the sidewalk, more space for people to wait for the bus.
Well, the bike lanes, if it is infringing on the space for pedestrians, that makes it tough for people people in Pittsburgh are famous for jaywalking, and if you try to take liberties with the bike lanes, the people on the bicycles arguably are harder on the pedestrians than the motorists are. They get very upset when you walk into their lane. The tension is there. Unless you knock down some buildings, you're not going to have more space. That doesn't seem to be an easy answer here, unless you eliminate the cars, perhaps. Let's take a call from Karen Kieran from Oakland, who has a suggestion about this. Hi, Kieran. You're on with Eric Holmberg.
How's it going?
Good, good. Welcome.
Yeah, so first off, I just wanted to say I work for Healthy Ride. We're the bike share system here in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, and firsthand experience, there's a lot of backlash that we get out on the street from people who are upset with parking spaces being removed. I find it kind of incredible because in a space where you can fit two cars, we can fit 20 bikes and have parking for it. And I think we should be doing everything we can to reduce the automotive congestion downtown.
Well, I mean, that's a good suggestion. I would ask you this, though. On a day like today, where, you know, when as Pittsburghers woke up and started making their morning commute, they were looking at 10-degree temperatures. You know, there are hardy folks like yourself who might not let that deter you from taking your bike downtown, but most people would prefer to drive. So, I mean, is that a practical idea, the idea that you can take cars out of downtown Pittsburgh?
Well, you were talking about planning in Copenhagen, and Copenhagen, they get some pretty cold temperatures as well, maybe not as cold as 10 degrees, but you have people biking every day of the year. And I understand that it's a comfort thing, but I think people at some point have to sacrifice comfort for what is better for the greater good.
Well, Eric, what do you think about the possibility? I mean, what Kieran is describing is something that would require a cultural, a life change for Pittsburgh. There's no reason that a 60-year-old individual couldn't hop on a bike and drive downtown Pittsburgh, but how many people of that age or, you know, close to it are willing to? That's a big lifestyle change. Are Pittsburghers ready for that?
Right, and that's what makes this really interesting is that it's not only a conflict for space, but it's sort of this cultural conflict. And you know, Diana talked about it with affordable housing and changing neighborhoods. It's the same thing when you talk about transportation. You know, the mayor, it's his priority to put in more bike lanes, to expand the variety of the modes of transportation that we have, so everyone's not driving alone. But that sort of asks the question, well, then what does Pittsburgh become? Who are we if more people are biking? Does that sort of change what we are as a city?
Well, I mean, you walk downtown and you know, you've got the incredible traffic from automobiles, mm-hmm. and, you know, and then when you get out of your car, half the people that are, you know, walking down the street are smoking cigarettes. So that, I mean, that right there would require a whole new reimagining of how we view our health, our habits, and then maybe you could get people hopping on bicycles. Let's go to Pat in Wexford. Hi, Pat. Welcome. You're on with Eric Holmberg.
Hello. I'd like to point out something as a suburbanite. I live out in the North Hills, and I love to come into Pittsburgh. I come into Pittsburgh for a lot of activities. But you know what? If I want to get my friends to come with me, I'm the one that drives because they just loathe Pittsburgh, especially now that you have the bike lanes. And I am telling you that, you know, tourists come once in a while, but the people outside of Pittsburgh are the ones that you're going to draw on from revenue for your plays, all your attractions and things like that, and yet there seems to be no recognition of how you are deterring people from coming into Pittsburgh.
So you're saying that I'm sorry, go ahead, Pat.
Well, go ahead. I was going to say, does that make sense?
Well, and I would ask you, so you're saying that the addition of the bike lanes downtown are an imposition on someone like you who drives in and brings people with you from the suburbs?
Well, they're not an imposition, but I know one time I went to the lecture series down at the Heinz Hall, and I could turn, when I came out of the garage, I could turn right or left. The next time, and it was 3 weeks later, I can only go one way. And, you know, I don't mind it, but I have friends that don't want to go into Pittsburgh who have the money to spend on tickets and entertainment and stuff like that, that detest it. And I will tell you the other thing. Phipps Conservatory, which I have been to, like I go to at least 4 or 5 times a year, I don't mind bike lanes, but when they take parking space away from Phipps and you get a lot of younger people with families and a lot of older people with that have their mothers or relatives who are not very, they're infirm, they have a little bit of trouble maybe walking, and you have to park miles and miles away. You can't find a parking space. And I will tell you the other thing. Every time I've been down there, and I know I'm not in traffic a long time, maybe, but I'm in traffic more times now, longer now with the bike lanes and stuff. I have yet to see anybody at night in those bike lanes. Oh, one person I remember, a girl on a bike.
Okay. I think, Pat, I appreciate your call. I think you've made a point, some good points. So we're seeing the tension. These last two callers are couldn't be more illustrative of the tension that exists because is this plan maybe, and the mayor's certainly been criticized for it, Eric, based on what your research is showing you, has enough planning been done to anticipate the problems that would occur, particularly with the bike lanes on Penn Avenue, for example?
Well, so the recommendations that will come out later this month, it's not going to be sort of a prescriptive plan for downtown like a master plan or a comprehensive plan would be. It's really just going to be things that the city could institute that would be temporary. They could try it out and see if it worked. If it doesn't work, it would go away. The architect, the urban design firm has been, instrumental in and has become, famous in part because they were some of the folks who worked on pedestrianizing Times Square in New York City.
But New York is not Pittsburgh is the problem.
Right.
It's a great point. This idea that Times Square was turned into a pedestrian area. Mm-hmm. But could that work in Pittsburgh where as you say, the streets are narrower here?
Right. And the city planning director, the head of Envision Downtown, the folks who are working on this and who will be receiving these recommendations don't anticipate that will happen for Pittsburgh. Now, that could obviously change. The folks at Gale might recommend that. But, the folks in power in the city don't seem to think that that's a really viable option.
Let's go to Dave in Braddock Hills with a comment. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Yeah, I just, realize one thing. I mean, I know this. We're a car culture, and we need our cars. Our cars are comfort. They're like lawn chairs. They're our lazy boy at the house. We need that comfort. But also, kind of like we're like a lazy culture in terms of we want everything simple. And we need to be educated. And also, and that's a poor job on the part of the master planners in terms of the managers, in terms of the city planners. That's a poor job on their part in terms of educating us on all the options that they have here in Pittsburgh. I'm from California, so I know what traffic management is, and it's kind of hectic, and it's kind of hard to do that. But I know how city management should be. It's a lot of work. But in terms of planning, My thing is, if we had let's say I was working downtown, if we had a website that said point A to point B, and we said, let's go, and then we went to that website and said, here's your job on Penn Avenue. Here's all the options that you have to get there, walking, Uber, or here's a bike. Here's you can take your car, but here's several different options to get there. And here's the fastest route. And one of them might be your car, Uber, the bike, or whatever. And it would show, or the bus even. And it would show different ways to get there, the fastest way, and at least give us some options. But it at least educates us on all the different options. And even be the taxi. Take a taxi.
Well, this is a good point, Dave, and we're running a little short on time, so I don't mean to cut you off. But Eric, is there enough information out there for people like Dave that want to look that, what he's saying, the fastest ways to get into town or to Penn Avenue, for him to be able to access?
Right, right, and you can obviously look at that on any sort of mapping program, and sort of Dave's point, and I think Pat's point beforehand. These are good points because there is a legitimate question to be asked of who downtown should serve. Right now it serves office workers. Right now it serves people going to game days. I think that there's something to be said, and the Gale folks will probably bring this up, is that they want full-time public life. They want a vibrant set of people who live downtown, who make up, you know, and this sort of gets into all the other problems. If you have more people living downtown, it sort of addresses the retail problem. A lot of the folks that I talked to said, well, lamenting the loss of Macy's, the big retailers, it sort of gets to the safety issue. And last year, well, 2 years ago now, in 2014, downtown had the most violent crimes, number of violent crimes out of any city neighborhood. So you get more people downtown, more eyes on the street, more people going to shops. You know, the thing that the Gale folks want is a vibrant life around the clock, not just 9 to 5.
So you have all sorts of challenges, and how do you balance all of this? It's what the city will be looking into in 2016. It's been interesting to take this look ahead. I want to thank our guest, Public Source reporter Eric Holmberg, for joining us. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Paul.
Coming up, if you've ever wondered what it's like to spend a night in a homeless shelter, you're about to find out. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.